Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is Heaven Bound.
You should come too.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. Today we're recording episode number
17.
Number 17, that's right. And you're probably going to notice a lot of different sounds today during episode number 17. As a matter of fact, there goes a big truck right now. It's summertime and summer schedules are a little bit crazy. And so our recording schedules are probably going to be a little bit crazy this summer. And today, it's already Wednesday. Normally, I would already have this episode uploaded and ready to go, but this week was Memorial Day, and we had some different things going on for Memorial Day, and that just meant yesterday I was playing catch-up on some other things. And so today, I just brought my little portable studio home. And Taylor and I are sitting out in the backyard, and we're sitting under the pecan tree for shade, and it is really a beautiful day today. And we're just going to sit outside today and do a recording, but that means while we're sitting outside, you're probably going to hear some cars go by, and you're probably going to hear the chickens running around us looking for bugs and things to eat, and I'm not sure what all you're going to hear today, but we're just going to have fun and go with it and not worry too much about it. Taylor, what have you been up to, sweetie?
We've been playing Frozen.
You've been playing Frozen? And what is Frozen? Does that mean you stand real still and you don't move like you're frozen?
No.
What does it mean? How do you play Frozen?
We just act like the characters in Frozen, and I really like to act like Elsa, and sister was acting like Anna.
Yeah, that is y'all's new favorite movie, isn't it? Frozen, which happened to be about two sisters, and y'all pretend like you're the sisters, and you sing, you know, every word to every song, and you sing and dance and build ice castles inside the house, and just have a lot of fun, don't you? Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't mind Elsa coming and visiting and maybe cooling things down just a little bit here. It's a nice day, but it is approaching summertime and it's nice and warm. And I guess I would rather have the warm than the cold, but if I had somebody that could just toss me a cool breeze whenever I wanted it, boy, that would be cool, wouldn't it? All right. Last week, do you remember who we talked about last week? We talked about Jesus, yeah. We do that most weeks, actually. Do you remember? And there's the little breeze coming through. It feels good, but now I can hear in my headphones how well you can hear the leaves rustling in the wind. I don't know if I'll be able to edit that out or not. Jesus, last week we saw him visiting with somebody. Do you remember who he was visiting with? He was walking along with his disciples, and he was tired, and so he went and sat down next to what?
A well.
A well, yeah. And somebody came to that well. Who came to that well?
A woman.
A woman. And did Jesus, was he nice to her, or was he mean to her?
He was nice.
He was nice. He started talking to her, didn't he? Yeah. And do you remember what he told her about?
I don't know.
You don't know? He asked if he could have a drink of water. And then he started telling her about a different kind of water. And do you remember what kind of water he was telling her she needed?
The Spirit.
The Spirit, right? Spiritual water. She needed to learn to drink from the fountain or the well that would never run dry. And he was talking about himself. He was telling her that she needed his word and his truth, wasn't he? And so that's what we talked about last week, was just how he was trying to get her to understand what she needed, and he was using water as a lesson. Well,
why
we kind of...
Using water as a lesson?
Huh?
Why did Jesus use water for a lesson?
Well, Jesus was always very good about using things for lessons. And the reason he used water is because that was something that was very important to the woman. And that was something that she knew all about, because she came out every day to draw water from the well so she would have some to drink. Now, he didn't use sheep or planting wheat as a lesson for her, because she probably wasn't a shepherd, and she probably had never planted and harvested a whole field, but she did have to go get water, and so he knew that that would be a good way for her to understand what he was talking about. Other times, he would tell other people different things. If they knew about fishing, he might talk about fish. Or if they knew about planting and harvesting a big field, then he might talk about that. So Jesus was very good.
What does harvest mean?
Well, harvest, right over there behind us, we planted a garden this year, didn't we? And we took seeds and put them in the ground and covered them up with dirt. And we go water them, and they're starting to do what?
Grow.
They're starting to grow. And when they grow real big, what's going to start growing on those plants?
Flowers and food.
Flowers and food, yeah. Well, to harvest means when we go back out when it's all ready and we pick the food off, like when we start picking the green beans off and when we start picking the tomatoes and the peppers and the corn. And when the potatoes are ready, we won't pick potatoes. We'll have to dig up the potatoes. But to harvest means to go out and to get all the fruit or the vegetables or whatever we're trying to get from those plants. To harvest means to go get them and bring them in so we can use them. So that's what we're looking. That's why we planted a garden. So when it's time, we can harvest it.
Why do we have to dig potatoes?
Well, where do potatoes grow? How are you going to get them if they're underground and you don't dig? If they're underground, we got to dig to get them, don't we? All right, so I know you've got a bunch of questions about the garden, but let's look. We stopped right in the middle of our story with Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well last week. We didn't do the whole thing. So today I want to look at something else that Jesus had a chance to teach her. That's very important. Okay? When he started talking to her about, oh, special water where she would never be thirsty again, and was trying to explain to her that it was spiritual water and not regular water, well, he told her some other things about herself that he really shouldn't have known. Most people didn't know, especially a stranger just walking by. And she knew about her, and he knew all about her family. And she said, wait a minute, that's not normal. Most people that are strangers can't tell you things about yourself like that. And so here's what she says in verse 19 of John chapter 4. In verse 19, the woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She said, you're telling me things that most people don't know, that a normal person would never know. The only kind of person that would know things like that would either be one of my good friends, and you're not one of my good friends, or somebody that God sent, that God let them find out these things that they normally wouldn't know. She said, so because you're telling me things about myself, that's neat and different and special, and a normal person can't do that if they don't know me. So she said, you must be a prophet. And she said, since you're a prophet, I've got a good question that I need a prophet to answer. Okay? So she said, verse 20, our fathers, and she's talking about the Samaritans. Remember last week we talked about how the Jews weren't always very nice to the Samaritans, and the Jews didn't let the Samaritans come to Jerusalem to the temple to worship God, because they said, you're not really Jews, you don't really need to be worshiping God. But the Samaritans, most of them, wanted to worship God. And so she says, well, now that I've got a prophet here, I'm going to ask a question about worshiping. And she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people, she's talking about the Jews, because Jesus was a Jew, you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she's wanting to know which one is right. Is it okay that we worship on the mountain? How come y'all don't let us come worship at the temple? She wants to know what's right, because even though we find out some things about her that make her seem like she's not a very godly person, she tells us this and she asks this question that makes it sound like she's interested and she at least wants to know. So she says, which one is it? Is it okay to worship on the mountain, or are we supposed to go to Jerusalem to the temple to worship? And so Jesus answered, verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in the mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, because the Jews didn't let them come to the temple, and the Jews didn't let them visit the priests, and the Jews didn't let them come to Bible class. And I don't know if they had copies of the Old Testament scrolls or not. I'm sure at some point they did. Maybe a few of them could get their hands on it, but there's a lot they didn't understand because the Jews wouldn't let them. And he said, you're worshiping what you don't know. But he says, we worship what we do know, because the Jews were God's chosen people. He gave them their law. He communicated with them. But then he says, however, verse 23, an hour is coming, and actually it's now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Okay, so he says, you want to know about worship in the temple or worship on the mountain, and if it's okay to do it because the Jews won't let you. And he says, but he goes, that's not the point. He said, the time is coming. He said, yeah, right now the temple is God's house, and that's where the priests serve, and that's where a lot of things happen. But he knows that things are going to change. And they're going to change after he dies on the cross, and after he comes back from the dead, and then after the church is started on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches the first gospel sermon, he knows things are going to be different. So he's kind of trying to get her ready for when things are going to be different. He says, maybe they're not letting you come to the temple and worship right now, but things are going to be different. And he says, here's what's important when things are different. He says two things. Here's what's important. It's important for people to worship in truth, and it's important for people to worship in spirit. Okay? Truth and spirit. What does truth mean?
It means something that's right.
That's right. It means something that's right. It means something that's not wrong. So when he says he wants us to worship in truth, then he wants us to worship the right way. Do you think there's a wrong way to worship God?
No.
No? There's not a wrong way that God wants us to worship God, but you know, if we do anything that is not what God asked us to do, then we might be doing it the wrong way, huh? When Daddy tells you to go clean your room, if you went in there and you just picked up everything in the floor and just pushed it in the closet and shut the door, does the room look clean?
Yeah.
It looks clean, but did you really clean it? No, because you did it the wrong way, huh?
Yeah.
So you could try to make Daddy happy and come in and show me, look, the floor's empty and there's no mess anywhere. But if all you did was shove it into the closet, then you did what I asked you, but you did it the wrong way. And do you think Daddy would be happy?
No.
No. So God says, well, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that the important thing is to worship God, number one, in truth. That means when he asked us to do something, we do it the right way. Now, God asked us to do some different things when we worship him, didn't he? Is one of the things we do when we worship him singing?
Yeah.
And singing and praying. And so when we sing, we want to sing the right way, don't we? And when we pray, we want to pray the right way. And one of the things that you ask about a lot that you don't get to do yet, but one of the things that we do is take communion at church. And we do that every Sunday. And we hand out, they look like crackers, but it's unleavened bread. It's bread that doesn't have any yeast in it to make it rise up and be fluffy like sandwich bread is. And then we drink some grape juice because the grape is the fruit that grows on the vine. And God asked us to do that to remember Jesus. And so we need to do it the right way, don't we? If God said, I want you to drink the fruit of the vine, and we know that he's talking about grapes, then when we have communion, should we fill those little cups up with milk instead? No. What about sweet tea? Ooh, we like sweet tea, don't we?
No.
Well, we do like sweet tea, don't we? Yeah. But should we put sweet tea in our little communion cups because it tastes better than grape juice?
No.
No, because we're not worshiping God in truth when we change what he asked us to do and we do it the wrong way, are we?
No.
No. So Jesus tells the woman, he says, here's what's important. He says, it's not always going to be in the temple, and it doesn't matter if it's on the mountain, but what matters is that we learn what God wants us to do and we do it the right way. Okay. Now, then he tells her something else. He says, true worshipers will worship God in truth and in spirit. He says, you're not just going to worship the right way, but you're going to worship in the right spirit. Okay. Now, do you know what that's talking about?
Yeah.
No, that's a little different. That's kind of confusing. But let's see. If Daddy asked you to go clean your room, and you're going to do it the right way this time. You're going to put the toys in their boxes, and you're going to hang your play clothes up on hangers on the little dress bin that you have. And if you're going to pick up the books and put them back on the shelf, you can do that the right way. But if you don't want to do it, and you're mad when you do it, and you go in there and you pick your toys up and you throw them down in the box real hard because you don't want to be in there, and you're crying, and you put books on the shelf but you don't stand them up and slide them in, you just kind of pile them in there, and some of them are backwards and some of them are upside down, and really you did the things I asked you to do but you weren't very nice when you did it, would that be good?
No,
it wouldn't be good, would it? Even though when I come in and I see the room and it's all clean, am I going to go, hey, good job, thank you for doing such a good job, Taylor, if you're in there mad and pouting and crying and you're not being very nice about it? Am I still going to say good job?
No.
No, because I don't want you to be mad and to be ugly, and even though you did the right thing, to do it with a bad attitude. I don't want you to do it that way, do I? No, we want to learn how to do it and still have a good attitude. Jesus says when we go to worship God, it's important to do things the right way. He says, but sometimes we can do things the right way and still not have a good attitude about it. And it might not mean that we're mad when we worship, but it might mean that we're not really paying attention to the words that we're saying. Like if we sing a song, a real pretty song that tells God how much we love him and how wonderful he is for creating everything, and we might sing the words to the song and use our voices, and we might be thinking about something different the whole time. We might not even remember the words in the song. We might not be thinking about God and really giving him our hearts while we do that. And so we might be doing it the right way in truth, but then we're not doing it in spirit. And God says it's a balance. It needs to be both. Now, sometimes people could be doing it in spirit. They could be giving God so much of their heart, and I love you so much, and thank you for giving me this talent, and I'm going to use this talent to praise and worship you, and they might start doing something that God never asked them to do. Then it would be not in truth, but in spirit. Or they might be doing it the right way, and they don't really care, and they're not really paying attention, and they're not really showing God love when they do it. They might be doing it in truth, but not in spirit. Jesus said it's very important that we do both of these things. Number one, we worship God the right way. We worship in truth. And number two, we remember that God means so much to us because he created us and he sent his son to die for us. And even though we're sinners and we separate ourselves from God, God is there to bring us back, and that's a wonderful thing, and we're supposed to remember all that when we worship and praise him. And that way we will do it in spirit as well. Does that kind of make sense? They can't hear you nod your head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes when we're singing songs to God, or when we're saying our prayers during the day or at night, and sometimes mommy or daddy stop and we say, now remember, this is not a time to be silly. We need to pay attention to what we're doing. Do we sometimes have to stop and remember that it's not time to be silly? Yeah, that's because we want to make sure we're not just doing worshiping God in truth, but we're also worshiping him in spirit. Okay, because that's what Jesus told the Samaritan woman was the most important thing about worshiping God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners today?
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. And since I'm home, we'll have Christy back on because we haven't heard from her in a few episodes. And so I'll be right back in just a minute. All right. Here we are. Part two. It's been a while since I've had Christy with me for this part of the show. And since I'm recording at home today, it was easy to bring her back on. So, Christy, how are you doing?
I'm great.
It has been a very busy start to our summer already, and usually just goes downhill from here, but things are going good. So, what I got to talk about today fits in with the first part of our show, with Jesus teaching the woman at the well the concept of worshiping both in truth and in spirit. But it also just happened today, while I was looking at on a popular social networking site in a discussion group among Christian brethren, or in theory at least. I don't know all the people that participate, and so, you know, it really could be anyone, but something, question was posed, and people were really just kind of complaining, and I'm not here to bash them for doing their complaining. They're talking. I hope they talk it out and they see or hear something that really helps their understanding. But I gotta kind of defend a little bit. It started with the Lads to Leaders program, and I've talked about the Lads to Leaders program on here. It's something we are heavily involved in. And it's something that we believe is really a good program, really a good work. Now, it's not a microwave program. And when I say that, I mean you don't just punch it and do it and it magically works. The program could be abused like anything else. It doesn't work automatically because of what it is. If you just have your kids do the tasks involved in the program, it's not going to automatically make them spiritual giants, but it is designed to give them that opportunity that they can be working towards being leaders in the church, teachers and song leaders and speakers and servants, and just so many aspects to this program. It's a wonderful program. And so part of my coming at this topic today is to defend that program a little bit, But not just for the sake of defending the program. The program can defend itself because I believe they're based in the truth, and the truth is what defends it. And so the truth is what I want to share and kind of talk about, because whether I'm using it to defend the Lads to Leaders program or not, it's something that we need to be teaching our children. And the problem that was being discussed is that in the Lads to Leaders program, when the young women, the young girls, are participating in certain leadership opportunities in their speeches or sermonettes is really what they are, or song leading, the men are not allowed to go in and be in the room with them. And some people really, really have a difficult time with that, because fathers want to go see their little girls get up and do a good job. You know, I'm kind of missing the point when we let that become a problem. And I have two girls, and I don't have a problem with them going in and me not being able to go in there with them. And here's why I don't have a problem with it. The program is designed to teach and to train them, and it gives them practice, and it creates an environment for them to grow up doing the different things that God has given them the talents and the opportunities to do. And God has designed and structured His church to function in the way that He planned, and He has reasons for that, whether we agree with those reasons or not. Some people get really bent out of shape about the roles that men and women have, but God has been clear about how those roles function in the church and in the presence of other men. And Lads to Leaders doesn't allow the men to go in there, because some might argue, well, that's not really worship what they're doing. Well, that's not a safe argument, because people could be in there worshiping. While someone is leading you in a worship song, I would certainly hope that you're worshiping. And yes, it's possible to not do that, but we can't say that everyone is not doing that. Therefore, it's okay for men to go in. If they're leading in worship, and if anyone is in there worshiping, then those girls need to be taught the proper place as God has outlined for doing that. But number two, not just because it's either a worship issue or it's not a worship issue, it's still a training ground. It's still preparing them for when they will be in a worship scenario. And it's training them to understand that God has a place for men, and God has a place for women, and yes, they can be used, and yes, their talents can shine, and yes, there are many things they can do in their proper place. And so I for one, don't have a problem with not being able to go in and hear my girls lead singing, because we sing together at home, we spend a lot of time studying and praying, and we do so many things together. I know what they're capable of, and I know how good they do. And when they step in that room and they step into that environment, I'm outside waiting for them to come and tell me how excited they are to do it, and I'm beaming with pride, not just because they're in front of people performing a function, but because they are growing and they are learning what it means to respect God and His Word and His plan for the church and for them. And I know that later down the road, they're not going to be confused. Well, why can't I lead singing when there's men around now? I did it all my life growing up doing it in this program, you know. And so it's a training process. And I think it's sad to see such a petty argument used. Well, it's my girl. I want to go hear her speech. And to make that more important than her training to be a worker in God's kingdom.
Well, in the program, Lads to Leaders itself is all about habit building. Like Lance said, you can make it about, let me just go and do the check marks and get my award. But really the purpose of it, and if you really participate correctly, it's all about building habits, good habits. It's all about service and doing things that help in your church body and building those habits. And if you think about it in that context, we're building right habits. We're building into our children the habits that they need to be continuing on into adulthood, why not start and build the habit of participating in what they're doing in the correct way, whether it's worship or not? I mean, like Lance was saying, whether it's worship or not, it's a habit thing. And if I get in the habit of always being in a group of with men in there, and I'm leading singing, and I'm speaking, and I'm teaching in front of all these men, what happens when I become a teenager, and I don't see anything wrong with that? What happens when I become adult, and that's what I've built into myself this whole time? When we do things with our girls, when we do things with our children, we want to build into them the habits that are correct and the right way to do things, the way God sees that we should, says that we should do things.
Yeah. So in our Bible lesson earlier with Taylor, we're looking at Jesus teaching two sides to the coin, two concepts that are both equally important. And that is worshiping in spirit with the right heart and using those talents and being able to give to God what we want to give to God, but also doing that in truth. And I think it's very important that we be consistent with this, especially with our kids when they're training and they're going through, whether it's a program like Lads to Leaders, whether it's just, in the Bible classes our kids are in at church, whether it's at devotionals when kids spend time together, whether it's going to camps in the summer, which I'm getting ready for. I've got 4 weeks of camp coming up that we're going to be helping with and involved in a lot of things like that. So that's on my mind. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We need to be consistent, and our kids need to be being shown that there is a true way to do it, and there is also a way to be doing it in the Spirit, and that we never give weight to one over the other just because of this situation or that situation. We understand we do it the right way, and while we're doing it the right way, we pour our heart into it and we make it something that is meaningful to God, and it never becomes about what I want and what I like and what sounds better to me. And boy, and it sure would be nice if I could hear it this way and I could see it this way, and arguing small points like, you know, well, this is not the church building, we're outside in the churchyard, or we're in, you know, it's not, we just need to be consistent. And there is consistency in letting girls lead other girls, lead other women, when they're going to have the opportunity to do that all their life. And there is consistency in teaching the girls to sit back and let the boys be the leaders, fill that role that God has assigned to them. And one more side note to throw out, and this, like I said, it's just a side note, but if our girls grow up understanding that God has a role for men, and it's not a women's rights equality issue thing, that God has a role for men, that God wants men to do these things, maybe, just maybe, if we take the time to teach them and train them right and they understand there's some things that God just didn't design me to do, maybe that will help them find a man to marry that will be stepping up and doing those things. And her not finding some guy that's a, yeah, quote-unquote Christian, he kind of shows up, he doesn't do anything, and so she constantly feels the need to be that spiritual leader when she understands, I have a place and the man has a place. And when I see that picture and I understand what our roles are, I will find a man who is fitting his role the way God has designed, and we're doing them a favor, not only in the opportunities they have, and it's not, boy, raising our kids and taking them to things like this is not building a resume for college. Well, my kids led singing, and my kids did this, and my kids, it's not about that. It's about teaching them to love and to serve God, and both, whether it's boys or girls, understanding their role, understanding their place, understanding how those roles fit together is going to help them, not just as they grow up and they're presented with these scenarios, but as they find a spouse and are preparing to raise their own family in the future. I think all of these little things along the way lend towards that being the kind of home that God wants them to have. And so I think it's very important to start very early teaching them the difference between what God wants and what God doesn't want, and being consistent so they see that and they practice that and they don't grow up questioning that. Well, all my life, you know, we did it this way, and now all of a sudden, because I'm an adult, I can't. Well, that's when they're going to go find some church down the road that tells them they can, because that lets them do what they've always done. And we can't let our kids fall into that trap. We've got to do better than that with them. So that's kind of my soapbox, I guess, for this episode. And again, I'm not saying that just to, you know, reach out and defend Lads to Leaders, although I do appreciate them and what they do. But I think the truth is what defends their decision and their actions. And I think that truth is something that we need to be reminded of, and not just something that we hash out as adults, but that we start training our children to understand and to function in God's kingdom in that way. So I guess that's what we've got for this week. As always, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate having you around. If you like what you hear, tell somebody else about it. Share our podcast with other friends and families, especially if you have if you know younger families, families with kids. That's kind of what I'm trying to do, is show how to talk about these topics with children, because I love talking about these things with Taylor, and sometimes it's very difficult to come up with the right way to explain these things, but I don't want to skip those. I want to come up with something and present it to you and help you have these conversations in your home, with your family, with your children as well. So please share our show with others. Send us feedback if you like what you hear. If you don't like what you hear, tell me about it. Visit our website, heavenboundpodcast.com. You can fill out the little contact form and send an email straight to us, or you can leave a comment on any of the shows that we've recorded. If you have a comment about the show in particular, then we'd love to hear from you. Again, the website is heavenboundpodcast.com. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us in the iTunes store. You can find us in the Xbox store, which also I think is still Zune software on some computers. And you can find us on Stitcher if you use an Android device and don't have either of those other two. And just look us up and subscribe. If you have a different podcatcher that you use, you can get the feed address right off of our website, plug it right in, and these episodes will be delivered straight to you as soon as we do them. So, as always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.